pray this to the Lord again from your heart. Lord, speak to my heart tonight through the message and draw me closer to you. Secondly, would you say to the Lord, Lord, help the preacher to preach the message exactly as you'd have him to tonight, filled or controlled completely with your Spirit. And lastly, we'd say, Lord, we want everything to bring praise and honor and glory to you. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. All right, we're back in Philippians chapter 4 tonight as we continue really a two-part sermon on supporting missions and missionaries. And we're going to get real practical this evening as we look at God's Word and give some good ideas on how we can be supportive of missions and missionaries. But I want to start out kind of laying a foundation with something we call the Great Commission. Now in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20, it says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, now this again, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he says this, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. In other words, if all power has been given to Jesus, we better listen to him and do what he wants us to do in his power. And then it says, and I'm not really preaching this passage per se, because you could spend a lot of sermons out of just this passage, but I kind of wanted to just set the foundation, if you will, for what we've been talking about, missions and supporting missionaries. It says, here it is, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. What a promise that is. Even when we go to spread the gospel around the world and to teach all nations, he says that I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now that passage of Scripture, as Jesus was teaching his disciples just before he ascended back to the Father, it's called the Great Commission. In other words, it's what we're supposed to be doing for the Lord. I believe our greatest endeavor as Christians, once we are truly born again, is to spread the good news of the gospel around the world. And that's what the Great Commission tells us to do. And if we've been commissioned by Jesus, who has all power and all authority, there's nothing that should stop us from doing the Great Commission. And as I mentioned this morning, if we are responsible for that Great Commission as the disciples of Jesus, we need to be the best witnesses and the best missionaries we can be wherever God has planted us, among our neighbors and our friends and our coworkers, our classmates perhaps. We need to be the witnesses and sharing the gospel wherever we are. So in a sense, we all are missionaries. But some are called to go into outside their home area, outside where they're living, to move to different areas, perhaps in our country, perhaps even around the world in a mud hut perhaps. But they've been called to go share the gospel around the world. Now, if it's our responsibility as Christians to see that the world hears the gospel, and God hasn't called us to go specifically to be a missionary somewhere around this world, guess what? We have the responsibility of sending missionaries and taking care of missionaries and encouraging missionaries to do what we have not been called to do to certain parts of this world. Would you all agree with that? If you all agree with that, say amen, and I'm sure I'll hear you. This morning, we started the two-part series, Supporting Missions and Missionaries. This morning, we looked at 3 points. Supporting missions and missionaries brings them joy. out of Philippians chapter 4, verse 10. It says, "But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me, Philippian church, as I'm under house arrest as a missionary in Rome, hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful," or you cared, but there was not the opportunity. Secondly, from this morning, supporting missions and missionaries is a good thing. Paul said in verse 14, "Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction." The idea there, as best I can figure out, you've well done. It's a good thing. You have done a good thing. And when you support missions and missionaries to take the gospel around the world, around the corner or around the world, as it said, you are doing a good thing. Thirdly, supporting missions and missionaries puts fruit into our heavenly spiritual bank account. Verse 17 says, "Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." So as the Philippians had sent a gift and supported, Paul was a missionary under house arrest in Rome. He says, "Now, I'm not commending you just because I desire a gift or more gifts or anything, but I really want you to be blessed. I want you to lay up fruit or things into your heavenly bank account by supporting missions and mission work and the gospel going around the world." Tonight, as we continue this two-parter, as we look at supporting missionaries out of Philippians chapter 4, point number 4, supporting missions and missionary smells good to God, is acceptable to God, and pleases God. Now, that's kind of a long point there. But point number 4, supporting missions and missionaries smells good to God, is acceptable to God, and pleases God. Now, I'm going to read just out of Philippians chapter 4. We read it this morning, verses 10 to 20. But I'm only going to read verses 18 to 20 for the message tonight. Philippians chapter 4, verses 18 to 20. It says, "But I have all and abound. I am full," Paul writes, "having received of Epaphroditus," that would be probably the pastor of the Philippian church who brought the gift or gifts to Paul to support him in his missionary work, "having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen." If you're paying close attention to this, you found in verse 18 what I said is point 4 of this message. Supporting missions and missionaries smells good to God, is acceptable to God, and pleases God. Right there it is. It says, "The things that you sent to me," says the latter part of verse 18, "an odor of a sweet smell." In other words, it smelt good to God. "A sacrifice acceptable." So it was like the sacrifices in the Old Testament that God required of his people. You know, he had a certain way to do it. And he's saying this was a good thing. This was acceptable to God. And then it says, well-pleasing to God. You see, Paul wasn't only joyful, as we talked about earlier, about receiving this support as a missionary when he really needed it. But he's saying in this verse that it's not only joyful to him, but it's good to God as well. You know, I believe most young boys and girls want to please their earthly dad. They want an attaboy or an attagirl or a pat on the back from dad. You know, most serious Christians also want to please their heavenly dad or father or get an attaboy or an attagirl from him. One way that we can please our heavenly Father is by supporting missions and missionaries. You know, I think of this idea of an odor of a sweet smell and a sacrifice acceptable and it's well-pleasing to God. One of the best smells that I can remember from my childhood is when my mom was cooking Thanksgiving dinner. And we'd be waiting for Thanksgiving dinner, and we'd smell that turkey cooking, and we'd smell that. See, down in the southern part of the state, I'm not sure if it's really regional. It kind of seems like it is. In the southern part of the state, at least some of us enjoy cornbread dressing with our turkey. And you'd smell that and the anticipation, and you're like, ah, that smells really, really good. It smelled great, you might say. You know, when we support missions and missionaries the way that we should as individuals and as a church, can I say in a similar way, God takes a big whiff of that and says, boy, it smells good when you're supporting the cause of Christ, when you are supporting the gospel going around the world, when you are supporting missions and missionaries to further the gospel. Supporting missions and missionaries this evening, first of all, smells good to God, is acceptable to God, and pleases God. Number five, supporting missions and missionaries will be blessed by God's supply. Let me say that again. Supporting missions and missionaries will be blessed by God's supply. It says in verse 19, but my God, isn't that our God too? Shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, isn't that a wonderful verse? Say amen out there. Isn't that a wonderful verse? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I believe that that is a general principle that we can take and we can apply to all of life. I really do. I believe that says that God will meet all of our needs as a child of God. And it says, my God shall supply what? All your need. That means, I believe, physical needs and emotional needs and spiritual needs, all the needs that we have. How can he do it? According to his riches. In other words, he has an abundant supply of everything that we need. Isn't it true that God can meet all of our needs? Absolutely. Is it not true that he's a big enough God that he has all the resources? Absolutely. It says, according to his riches, where? In glory. I just think of a heavenly storehouse up there that God has all of these blessings and all of these things that will meet all of our needs, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and any other needs we might have. And he can do that by Christ Jesus. You say, what exactly does that mean? It means through Jesus and what he did for us. You know, because of what Jesus did for us on the cross, dying on the cross, shedding his blood to pay our sin debt, through that, when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Savior, we are made right with God. We are reconciled with God. And in that relationship, it says, God will meet all of your needs. Now, it doesn't say he'll meet all of our wants. Now, that'd be kind of cool. If we, as some of these health and wealth preachers on TV make it sound, God will meet all of your wants. You just have enough faith and you ask for a blue Chevrolet pickup, brand spanking new, great big old tires on it, extended cab, everything, Wi-Fi, I mean everything, stereophonic, the sound is so great, everything is wonderful, you just have enough faith, God will give it to you. Well, that's not true. It doesn't say that God will supply all of our wants, although he is a merciful and gracious God, and sometimes he gives us our wants, but the promise here is that he'll give us our needs. Not our wants. We got to kind of keep that in mind. And a lot of those health and wealth preachers, they make it sound like you'll get even all of your wants. And that's just not true. It's a good thing God doesn't give us all of our wants, because that we'd get in more trouble a lot of times if he really gave us our wants. again, I believe this is a general principle that we can take from this passage and say, yeah, God's going to meet all of our needs. Absolutely. But you know the specific context right here? Again, the specific context to this verse is supporting missions and missionaries. And he's writing it to the Philippian church. And the Philippian church, I don't know if they took up an offering for Paul. I don't know if they had a big box in the back of the church and they just started putting things that Paul might need. And Epaphroditus took that to Paul, or whether it was a check or some money. It would be a check, I guess, but money that he could use there under house arrest. I don't know. But in some way, I kind of get the impression that the Philippian church gave not of their abundance, but gave out of their need. In other words, gave sacrificially. And Paul is reassuring them as a missionary and as an apostle and as someone who's writing under the direction of the Holy Spirit that guess what? You think you lost all that? You think you're going to be lacking in it? That's not the way God is. God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Do you see the point? In the context, the Philippians might have been thinking, you know, well, I gave that up, so we'll probably have a few needs for a while, but we wanted to support that missionary. We wanted to make sure that the gospel went forth. And I think Paul was assuring them that God will supply all your need. Even when we give sacrificially, God will meet our needs. I think that applies to individuals, that applies to churches. But what does it take for an individual or a church to give sacrificially? I really kind of feel amiss talking about giving sacrificially because I think we know so little about that in America. But not giving out of your abundance, but giving out of things that you think you need to support things like missions and the cause of Christ. I'm sure some people do that, but I don't know of a great number of people that say, well, I took my food money for next month and I gave it to support a missionary. And I'm going to sit back and watch God work. And guess what? I really believe that God will work and supply that need, don't you? But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You see, supporting missions and missionaries will be blessed by God's supply. To me, this falls under the category that you cannot outgive God. You've probably heard that if you've been in church for very long of a time. You cannot outgive God. Because when you give to the cause of Christ, and in the context here of even supporting missions and missionaries, God will bless your socks off. God will bless you and meet your need. Tonight in particular, we've looked so far, supporting missions and missionaries. First of all, it smells good to God, is acceptable to God, and pleases God. And lastly, we just looked at it, supporting missions and missionaries will be blessed by God's supply. I thought I would end this two-part message series on practical ways to support missions and missionaries. Perhaps you've listened intently to this morning's message and tonight's message. You're like, yeah, I'm ready. I want to support missions more. I want to support missionaries more. But what are some practical ways that I can do that? Here's some ideas, some thoughts that you can do that. First of all, by giving financially to support missions and missionaries. You say, how can I support mission? Well, by giving financially to support missions and missionaries. You see, when you give to the church, the way we do our giving in our church is it just comes out of the money that's received. And we are allotted that we're going to give this much to a missionary and this much to a missionary per month and this to a missionary so much per month. So when you give to the church, you are giving to missions. And if we get to the point that we see, okay, well, we're meeting our needs here in the church and we want to take on more missionary. So one way, practical way, that you can support missions and missionaries is by giving more financial support even to the church. But you know what? We'd like to expand our missions and missionaries that we support. We would like to expand that. We now support four different missions or missionaries as a church. We support WVGV, the Christian radio station out of West Union. It plays good, solid Christian music and has good, solid Christian preaching on it. We support that, WVGV, $150 a month. Praise the Lord, that's a good mission to support. We support Ambassador Baptist College, training men and women for service as missionaries or youth pastors or pastors or evangelists or Christian teachers. And we think that's a worthwhile thing. And so we support them $150 a month as well. And you remember Chase Williams, Chase and Rochelle and Cyrus Williams, and there's one on the way. We support them $150 a month as well. And if you're not familiar with them, their main thrust in ministry is to go to the public schools and to talk on topics that are very relevant that they allow them to speak on, such as bullying or maybe getting your diploma or things like that. And then they give them a ticket with an opportunity to come and see a full, he uses illusions, to do a full magic or illusion show somewhere else outside of the public school, and he gets the opportunity to share the gospel. And that's what he did here at Awake 25, and there was like 1,400 people in two different shows on a Saturday following the revival. And out of that, as best I can tell, there was 97 people saved through that. What a wonderful ministry. And our church now supports him $150 a month. And also, the fourth one we support is Ryan as he goes to the D.C., goes to work, that is, for the D.C. Gospel Outreach, that ministry commemorating our country's 250th birthday. And as an outgrowth of that birthday, they want to see Washington, D.C. bombarded with the gospel. And they're going to have groups. They're praying for 100 groups to come in the months of June or July, whether they be youth groups or complete church groups, to come to D.C. And Ryan will have a big hand in that. And the president of Ambassador, Dr. Alton Beale, and a couple other guys from the school also in the summer months come and help some. They'll be leading these groups to give out these gospel tracts or these John and Romans, these little booklets or commemorative editions on the front, real nice cover from what I understand. And it has the Gospel of John and the Book of Romans in bound together. And so during those, through about August or so, we'll support Ryan $150 a month because Ryan is serving as a missionary, if you will, to Washington, D.C. You see, I'd like to support more missions and missionaries, and at some point, we may switch to a faith promise model where we just say, okay, God, what do you, we ask God individually and as families, God, what would you like for me to give to missions, to support missions and missionaries? And then sometimes churches have people write on a card without a name, say, well, I feel God's going to lead me to give $100 more above my tithes and offerings to the church to missions. And then usually you have a missions conference and you collect those cards from everybody and you figure up, okay, people feel led by God. And then we just sit back and by faith count on God to bring it in so I can give it to God's work and support more missions and missionaries. Maybe someday we'll do that. But you know what? Some practical ways. Number one, by giving financially to support missions and missionaries. And you know, when you do things to provide a need for a missionary, you know, I've heard of churches and been part of churches that want to try to be a blessing to missionaries. And when missionaries come through, they say, what do you need? And they might say, well, I need a new computer. To be honest with you, my computer. And you know what? Sometimes through the love offerings and through the generosity of people in the church, they buy them a brand new computer. And they get, I mean, What is more important than the spread of the gospel? And who are the people that are going places that we may not be called to go? Missionaries. And how can we further the cause of Christ and fulfill the Great Commission? By supporting missions and missionaries. Practical ways, number one, by giving financially to support missions and missionaries. Secondly, by encouraging missions and missionaries through cards and texts and emails and Facebook and things like that. You know, this doesn't necessarily cost us a single solitary penny. It just takes us perhaps our time. Just to take a little bit of time and contact missionaries that are on the field, or if you've been blessed, for instance, by WVGV Radio, to send them a note or an email saying, you know what, a blessing your station has been to me. Or I heard that message and it challenged me in my walk with God. Or I appreciate that good music that you play. You don't know how much of a blessing that might be to people for you just to take the time to send them a text, an email, or Facebook, or communicate with them in some way, even through an old-fashioned card that you send to them. So how can we support our missions and missionaries? Number one, financially. Number two, by encouraging them in some of these tangible ways, cards, texts, emails, Facebook, etc. And thirdly, how can we support missions and missionaries? And this is important. And this is not last and least, last but not least, because this is very, very important. How can we support them? By praying for your missions and your missionaries. You know, those four missions or missionaries that we are supporting, WVGV, Ambassador Baptist College, Chase Williams, and Ryan Delay, you know what? We need to be praying for all four of those. Really, we do. Some churches have a gazillion missionaries that they support. We're not quite there right now. But you know what? We have four. We can even memorize all four that we have, right? And we can remember to pray for them. And I guarantee you that every one of them, given the choice, do you want money or you want prayer, they would choose prayer, because prayer is where the power is. If you can do the money, praise the Lord. But by praying for your mission, missions, that is, and missionaries. You know, a lot of them, I mentioned this morning, I have a couple different prayer cards that are here from folks that have come to our church and presented their ministry. We don't support them at this point, but the Schmitz, missionaries to Brazil. We got Timothy Hendricks, missionary to India. And they put these missionary cards out, and they have their names. Sometimes they have their birthdays on there, and you can support them in that way and send them a birthday card, encourage them a bit, maybe areas of ministry. But these are reminders. That's why they're called prayer cards, to pray. Now, Ryan doesn't have a specific prayer card, and I know Chase Williams, I don't have one up here with me, but he has prayer cards. But this is a little card about the D.C. Gospel Outreach. You ought to put them in places wherever you will remember, perhaps in your Bible, perhaps on your refrigerator. I visit my refrigerator quite often, so it's a good place to put prayer cards or prayer reminders to pray for these things. But it's important. I know since we've supported Chase and while he came here and preached for us, on Sunday morning, and then did the outreach to the kids over in our Good Shepherd Hall, I've got on his prayer request list. And he sends me, every few days, he sends me some prayer concerns. And you know what that reminds me of when I see that? It comes up. Prayer request - Chase Williams. I'm like, oh, I should pray for Chase. And then he says in particular, he says, pray, I'll be at this certain church in Tennessee, and he gives the pastor's name. God has opened up one public school, one Christian school, two after-school programs, and there's some other Christians or public schools that are thinking about it. Pray that doors will open up for him to be able to minister there. And then he also mentioned someone that he ran into when he was filling propane. And said, pray for this guy. He quit church several years ago. Pray that he gets back in church. If he's lost, that never been saved, that he'll be saved and get right with God. And these are good ways. There's lots of bad things about this phone and all the electronics, but there's some good things as far as prayer reminders. You see, prayer cards remind us to pray. Prayer requests through text can remind us to pray. And if you wanted to, I'm not sure if Ryan mentioned this in particular. I think Dr. Beal did on the little video clip when he presented the ministry. You can be part of Gideon's 300 for the DC Gospel Outreach, and eventually they'll be doing prayer updates and things to pray for in particular as that ministry gets more in focus. I'm almost done, but the Macedonia World Baptist Missions put out a little bookmark that I picked up somewhere that I've been, and it gives us things that we can pray for missionaries in particular. Some things we may not always think about, but they say pray for, number one, travel safety for their missionaries. Number two, strong marriages for their missionaries. Pray for the children of the missionaries. Fourth, pray for a joyful spirit for their missionaries. Pray for the health of their missionaries. Pray for courage for their missionaries. Pray for fruitful ministry of their missionaries. Pray for financial provision for their missionaries. And pray for language acquisition. Because a lot of the missionaries are going to countries, they speak languages that are not the native language of the missionary, so they have to learn that. You see, there's lots of ways, or at least several very practical ways, that we can support missions and missionaries. If you wouldn't mind, wherever you might be, if you could bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me remind you again of these practical ways that you can support missions and missionaries by giving financially. Right now in our church, the more you give to our general fund of our church, the more we can support more missionaries. But maybe you hear of a need, perhaps of the missionaries or the missions, whether that be WVGV, Ambassador Baptist College, whether that be Chase Williams and his family or Ryan DeLay and his ministry there in D.C. Maybe God will say, you know what, I found out about a need that they have and I'm going to meet it, or I'm going to talk to some people and see if we can all. They're just giving financially in any way you can. That would be a good thing to support those who are taking the gospel to people and places that you've not been called to go. Secondly, we talked about, as we wound down the message, practical ways that we can support missions and missionaries, just simply by encouraging them through cards or texts or emails or Facebook. If you need that contact information, I'm sure I can get that to you if you don't already have it. Just think about it. Just say, you know what, how can I encourage them today by a word? I'm just going to text them and say I'm praying for them. What a blessing that would be. And thirdly, we talked about how can you support your mission or your missionaries by praying for the missions and missionaries, specifically by name and the needs that they might have. Maybe getting on their prayer request list so they can text you or let you know, or become part of a group where you get updates on their prayer concerns. And let me ask you, you know, this can be one of those messages like, oh yeah, okay, fine, yeah, I agree with that. Or are you going to try to consciously think of the missions that are taking the gospel around the world? Think of the missionaries that are going out, leaving their hometowns and going around the world to share the gospel. And are you going to make up in your mind, like, Lord, how can I help them? Can I give financially? Can I give them a word of encouragement? Can I pray for them? Right now, as your head is bowed and your eyes are closed, if you're willing to do that, would you say, God, would you help me in these areas to support missions and missionaries in the cause of Christ and sharing the gospel? We just pray that simple prayer. Lord, help me to support missions and missionaries. Perhaps you do already, but maybe you could even do it in bigger ways or different ways. Ask God to maybe give you wisdom on how you can be a blessing to missions and missionaries. And maybe you're listening in tonight as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You know, I know of no better time than right now. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. You have no promise of tomorrow. Perhaps you're listening in, and if I ask you the question, are you 100% sure that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven? And you'd have to hem-haul around or eventually come to the conclusion that, no, I don't know that. You know, you can know that. You can know where you will spend eternity. And you can do that by trusting Jesus as your Savior. So if you're listening in tonight and you want to be saved, you can call out to God right now in prayer. It can be an out loud prayer. It can be a prayer from your heart. You could call out to God right now, the God of the universe, the God of the Bible, and say, God, dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done many things against you, many wrong things in my life. Please forgive me of my sins. And you can tell God also in prayer, either out loud or from your heart. And you can say, I believe Jesus really was your son, God. I believe he died upon the cross to pay for my sins and then resurrected back to life. And you can say to God in prayer right now, out loud or from your heart, I now confess Jesus as my Savior. You meant that from your heart, wherever you may be. If you meant that from your heart and meant that commitment to God, you just trusted Jesus as your Savior. Praise the Lord. I appreciate if you'd let us know that so we can help you in your walk with God. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Philippians chapter 4, where Paul thanks the Philippian church for supporting him, for encouraging him through their gift to this missionary Paul. Lord, help us to have a burden for missions. Help us, Lord, to have a burden for missionaries. And Lord, help us to do our part to support missions and missionaries, Lord, as individuals and as a church, we pray. Help us to give what we can give to support them. Help us to encourage them with our words, our texts, our emails, our Facebook contact. And Lord, help us to support our missions and missionaries through prayer, Lord, we pray. Remind us of that. May we take it seriously. We pray this in Jesus' name.